Very thankful to be here with you tonight. This is a very special place to me. I've been coming here for many years, and I esteem you all very highly, and it's a great joy to see so many come out on a Friday night to worship the Lord, and tells me that you take the service of the Lord seriously. And I thank God for people like you that have that desire to be here, and I love the soundness of the churches this area, and it's seemingly very strong, and we certainly hold a very special place in our heart for all of you. And we appreciate those of you who came and saw us last October in Mississippi for our mid-association, and we invite you, of course, to come back again this third Sunday weekend in October. We'd love to have you, and it's a joy to be around each and every one of you. So many of you, your names or your faces look familiar, but the names, I apologize. I can't recall everyone's names like I would like, but you all are very special folks to us. Brother Sam, of course, is very special to us, and we love him and appreciate him, and so I know you do as well. But appreciate this opportunity we have to worship the Lord together and enjoy the communion service that we had together last night. I love the fact that this meeting begins with that, with communion, where it gets your soul and spirit in the right frame of mind about what we're here to do here this weekend, to remember our Savior and what He has done for us. We certainly appreciate Brother Larry and Sister Angie and their family keeping us. They have rolled out the red carpet for us, treat us like royalty, and we appreciate their hospitality. Appreciate the wonderful meal that we have had. We have just been, so many blessings been poured out to us already. And we thank the Lord for each and every one of you and everything that you've done in your labors of love. Ask an interest in your prayers this evening as we turn our attention to the book of Job, chapter 3. No doubt in this life, if you live long enough, you're going to have struggles and trials that come along your way. Jesus promised in John 16:33, we shall have tribulations in this life. In this life, we will have that. But we can be of good cheer because He has overcome the world. He tells us in that text. But as you go through the trials and struggles of this life, I encourage you to consider the case of Job. You know, James, in the book of James, chapter 5, said, ye have heard of the patience of Job. And, you know, he says, we count them happy which endure. These Old Testament saints that went through a lot, they were not supermen. They were just like you and I. They had their struggles and trials, but they overcame them by faith and trust in the same God that we serve today, who has not lost any power, who's still on His throne. And we view them sometimes in a light that is separate from our personal experience, and we shouldn't do that. We should see them just as we can apply what they did in their life to our own. But in Job's case, I ask you, in all your struggles this life, have you ever had an experience like his, that in one day he lost everything? He lost all his possessions. He lost his children. And then he lost his health. Now, I tell you, that really changes things when you lose your health. And he lost the respect of his wife and everyone else. All the things that he had that this world could offer, he lost it all. But why did he lose it all? The answer is, someone was coming after him. And that was Satan. And I tell you, Satan is still coming after us. He comes after us in different ways, but I'm not sure I know of anyone that has had an experience like Job's. And when you go through that, you reach that low point, what comes next? That's Job chapter 3. It says in Job chapter 3, verse 1, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Now, we didn't get, but in the second chapter, three of his friends showed up, and they didn't even recognize him because he looked so different. And they sat with him for 7 days, and no one said a word. You know, sometimes we wonder, you know, what should I say to try to comfort someone? Well, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. And they didn't. And they let Job start speaking. But it says he cursed his day. What does that mean, that he cursed his day? You know, we celebrate birthdays. Those are happy occasions for us. But he's not celebrating his birthday. He's cursing that day. Notice what it says here as we keep reading in verse 2. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it." He's cursing the day that he was born, saying that day should perish. It should perish from off the earth. Now, we can read more of this, but I want to skip down as he says this in verse 11. "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now, should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, and then had I been at rest." Job's cursing the day that he was born, and wishing that he had died in infancy before he was even born. Died before he ever had to come into this life. You know, we sometimes view infants that die at an early age as a great tragedy. As a great, so much of their life was ahead of them. And oftentimes we say, if only they would have had better health, or if only this would have happened, or that would happen. And yet, Job had lived a life, a very full life, had lots of children, had lots of possessions, had lots of respect, and even had God's favor, who said, "He is a just man, upright, and escheweth evil." He had all of that, and yet he's wishing he could trade places with a baby that died, which never came in to this world. You know, why would he desire that? You know, he's not the only one. Jeremiah chapter 20, you can read his case where he says almost the exact same words as Job, that he wishes that he had been a child that died in the womb and had never come into this world. You know, when you go through the struggles of this life, and in Jeremiah's case, you can go and read, he was called the weeping prophet for all that he endured. He, in Jeremiah chapter 20, was placed in the stocks for speaking what God had told him to speak. You know, Brother Sam mentioned if it was banned for us to pray for 30 days, that literally happened to Daniel in the nation of Babylon. And we may say, well, this country is getting worse. It hadn't gotten that bad yet, that we've been banned from praying. None of us ministers have been put in the stocks for trying to speak the word of God like Jeremiah did. And Jeremiah even got to the point where he says, "I am in Jeremiah 20, I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. I'm through. I've had enough of this." But he says, "But God's word was like fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with holding." But he still cursed his day, as Job does here. If we keep reading, he says here, back where we stopped in verse 13, "For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept," as he's talking about sleep and death, as Jesus even spoke of it that way, "and then had I been at rest with kings," verse 14, "with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver." Now he says, even if I died in my infancy, I'd be at rest from all the sorrows and struggles of this life. And where I would be is with kings and counselors of the earth, which built these wonderful things for themselves. Or with princes that had all this gold and filled their houses with silver. Because after death, you don't take any of that with you. We're all the same after death. There's no big people and little people up in heaven like there is here on earth. It would be the same. Job is desiring that. Verse 16. Or as a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw the light. He's talking about a child that dies in the womb, an aborted birth. A hidden, untimely birth. He says, if I'd have had that, I wouldn't have been here in this life. I wouldn't have had all these struggles that I'm going through right now. An infant which never saw the light. And then he says these words in verse 17. There, the wicked cease from troubling. And there, the weary be at rest. You know, one thing that we know about these babies that die or aborted is they go straight into the arms of our Savior in heaven. You know, God would certainly be just to send us to hell because we are sinners by nature, but I don't find that He does that in Scripture. I find that God judges out of the books according to their works. And an infant which never saw the light, what works does he have to be judged from? I believe all of the infants that die in infancy go straight into heaven in the arms of our Savior. But I'd like for us tonight to focus on these words here in verse 17. As we think about the struggles of this life, there is a place where the wicked cease from troubling. If you have troubles in this life, I can promise you they came from a source, the same source that came after Job, and that's Satan, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But in that place, the wicked cease from trouble. There's no trouble in that place, where nothing enter in into it that defileth, or there's no sin up there, nothing that is an abomination or maketh a lie. That is a place in the absence of all trouble. Any struggle that you might have in this life, I can promise you this, it will not be up there. You know, we may not know a lot about heaven, but I'd say that we do know a lot about heaven by knowing what won't be there. We know that these troubles of this life will not be there. In fact, if you turn me to Psalm 103, I want to point out to you what it says here about what will not be in heaven. He says in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. I trust we come in that frame of mind here tonight to bless the Lord. And this is a conversation he's having with himself. You know, I've got a worker that works across the hall from me, and he talks to himself. And he'll say things like, I know I'm in here talking to myself. I know you think I'm crazy. I'm like, I don't think you're crazy. I think it's healthy to talk to yourself. Here the psalmist is talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You know, I think it's very important that there's some things that you and I should forget. We need to forget the sins of the past. We shouldn't be holding grudges. You know, if we're running our race with patience. Now, I've run in a few races and haven't run one lately. I can tell you, my running days, I was literally 60 pounds lighter back when I was running races. And that's why I'm not really interested in running one right now, because I think that would be a painful experience. I have a hard time believing that I was that light. But anyway, when you're running, you don't need extra weight. Extra weight slows you down. Extra weight increases the difficulty of the struggle. And for us to not carry that weight, we've got to forget some things. You know, Joseph, whenever he was in the land of Egypt, his firstborn son was named Manasseh, which means forgetting. He says, I've forgotten all the toil in my father's house. And then his next boy's name was Ephraim, which means fruitful. And we would all be a lot more fruitful if there's some things we'd forget. Forget those things that are behind. But I'm telling you, there are some things we should never forget. Last night, we did what we did in the communion service in remembrance of Him. And we need to remember Jesus. Oh, Jesus, keep me near His cross, that we might remember all that He has done for us. But there's something else we need to remember. He says, forget not all His benefits. You know, we have benefits that come to us straight from the Lord. Notice what He says here as these benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I'm going to tell you what you won't have in heaven is iniquities and sins because He's forgiven them all. How? Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I tell you, we're forgiven. We've been forgiven for Christ's sake, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, people have pointed out this text and say, how can He say He heals all our diseases? I know some people whose diseases He never does heal. I can tell you what, in heaven, all your diseases are healed. There's no diseases in heaven. There's no sin. There's no diseases. He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I'm thankful that we can sing about redemption tonight and know that we'll be singing the same thing up in heaven. Revelation 5 verse 9, they're singing a new song. And they're singing, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. They're singing about redemption in heaven. We sing about that tonight. The Lord has redeemed our life from what? Destruction. That's where we were all headed because of our sins, but we've been redeemed. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, are you looking forward to wearing this crown in heaven? Crown of loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Now, y'all have certainly satisfied my mouth tonight with natural things, but I believe what He has under consideration is a satisfaction that we never have in this life. We'll have satisfaction. Back home, we have a saying that if someone has come and been in our area and we haven't seen them for a long time, we have the saying, well, we must have given them satisfaction because they never did come back. Never had a reason to come back. I'll tell you, when you awake with His likeness, you will be satisfied. You'll be satisfied with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. If you are dealing with the effects of old age and the afflictions that come with many years, I'm telling you tonight, you won't have that up there. Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. There, the wicked cease from troubling. And there, the weary be at rest. You know, as we think about what a wonderful place heaven is, the weary be at rest. He tells us, if we back up to Psalm 90, this is a psalm that's actually written by Moses that tells us about how short our life is on this earth. And in Psalm 90, verse 10, he says, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. A score is 20. 60 plus 10 is 70. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, or 80. But then he says, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. If you have incredible strength in this life and you're able to live a good long old age, your strength, he says, is labor and sorrow. You know, before the flood, folks were living almost 1,000 years in this old world. Can you imagine living that long in this earth? I mean, it's not that I'm really wanting to die or looking forward to it. I've got children to raise. We've got things that we got to do, but I tell you, I don't want to stay here that long. I mean, I'm not trying to live 100 or anything. I'm not even trying to 80. Whenever I get to where it's more of a burden, I just soon go ahead and go home. He says, our strength is labor and sorrow, and it's soon cut off. And what happens? We fly away. You know, I've done some flying on commercial airline flights, and That's an interesting experience. And I was in the Air Force, and I understand some of the principles of avionics, and I know when to be nervous and when not to be. I'll tell you, if you're up in the sky and you have this falling sensation, my wife hates that, but it's just like being on a roller coaster. It's nothing to be afraid of. But if you're coming into land and you start doing this, be nervous. That's not supposed to happen. And that's happened to me a few times. I've had some flights that I wonder, man, how's this really going to go? I'm not really sure. But I'm going to tell you how this flight's going to go. You're going to fly away into the arms of your Savior, into a place that we can't even imagine how wonderful it is. In fact, he tells us, if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he tells us something about our afflictions in relation to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, in verse 17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now he talks about our afflictions as if they're a light thing, an easy thing. Now, we may say, I don't view my afflictions as light. You know, a minor surgery is something that happens to someone else. Our afflictions are not something we necessarily consider as light. But I'll tell you why he says they're light. Because he's comparing them to something else. In Romans 8, verse 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." There's no comparison. And now notice what he says here. Our light affliction, which is just but for a moment. Notice he said back in Psalm 90, 70 to 80 years. What is that compared to eternity? I mean, that's not a very long time in comparison to eternity. But he says, it's but for a moment. It's just here for a little while, a small time, but it worketh for us. You know, your afflictions are actually your employees. They work for you. They're doing a job for you. They are helping you. You say, how could that be? How could our afflictions be helping us with anything? Well, this is where people think we children of God are a little too spiritual and we've really lost our mind. But in James chapter 1, he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Now, why would we count that as joy? To fall into diverse temptations. Do any of y'all like falling? I went out in the mountains of Colorado one time, and it was snowy and icy, and we were elk hunting. And my wife was with me, and, walking around here is kind of like walking around Mississippi. The ground is kind of flat. I mean, we have hills and hollers, don't get me wrong, but they're not mountains. But when you're walking out there, it's almost either straight down or straight up. Now, straight down, I could not keep up with my wife. She was gone. She was way out there. And I was watching my step and thought I was going to twist an ankle going down. I looked up there and she was like a mile away. I couldn't catch up to her, but going uphill, a different story. But I was watching my step because I didn't want to fall. I mean, a fall can result in an injury or tear stuff up, and I just didn't want to fall. And which one of us really wants to go through suffering and affliction? James says, "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Count it. You know, I'm not an accountant, I'm an engineer, and we don't necessarily get along because I like to spend money, and they don't necessarily like me spending all the money, but an accountant views things as assets and liabilities. I know that much about accounting. And an asset is something you have, a liability is something that you owe. We think of an affliction as a liability, and James says, don't count it like that, count it as an asset. Because he says, "Tribulation worketh patience." Why do we have these tribulations, the sorrows of this life? They're working for you. They're working patience. You know, patience is something that we all stand in need of. Because he says, and we try to get our sorrows and our struggles, we try to end them as fast as possible. But if you go through that process of tribulation, It worketh patience. And when patience has her perfect work, James says, ye will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You'll be perfect. You'll be complete, not sinless. You'll be complete, mature, able to bear fruit, wanting or lacking nothing. Why does he say that? If you can patiently endure affliction, then there is nothing Satan can throw at you that will change the way you interact with God's saints and with the Lord.
Amen.
And the biggest hearts among us are the ones who suffered the most. These afflictions work for us. They're an employee of us. And what do they make us do? They make us look forward to heaven that much more. In our times of prosperity, in our times of going through life, not even thinking about God, not even thinking about just thinking, oh, I've got this money, I've got this life, I've got everything going the way it should go. I'm telling you, that's what we desire, but that is not what we really need. We really need to see our dependence on God and look forward to heaven. If we get at home here on earth, we have lost sight of where our real home is. What did he say? The wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest. Where do you rest the best? At home, right? We recently had a visiting minister and we wanted him to stay at our home. He says, oh, Brother James, if it's all the same to you, I'd like to sleep in my own bed at night. Don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I rest the best at home. Where are we resting the best at home? In a hospital? No, I've tried that. That's not very good rest. I don't know why they have to come in so often. I mean, they see us in there sleeping. Just give us a break. Everything's fine. Just we need some time. But you don't rest in a hospital. You rest at home. And I'll tell you where your real rest is going to be is at your long home in heaven's pure world. This exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice he said the afflictions are light. The glory is weighty. That's reality. You know, we think of this life as what's reality, and heaven seems like an imagination. But I'm telling you, that's the real life up there. That's who you really will be. This sin that we carry with us is not who we really are. The exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'd like to leave you with one text here in Revelation chapter 14. There's a lot said about heaven and Revelation, and time fails us to get into it all. But if we think about the afflictions of Job and our afflictions, and Job says it'd be better if I had not even been born. What is the point of living the life? Should we adopt the mentality of Job? Is there a point for us to be here? Why are we here? If we're just going to be here to suffer, what's the purpose of life? I want you to notice what it says here in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. He says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, that's the time to pay attention, hearing a voice from heaven. And he said, write. You know, there's some things that we should write down. Brother Sam was writing down the songs that we were singing tonight. That's great. You can relive a service when you write things down. But a voice from heaven... You know, I actually take notes when I'm trying to study the Bible because I don't want to lose this. I don't want to forget it. I was once asking an older minister about a Bible verse, and he says, you know, Brother James, he said, I had some good thoughts on that before, but I can't remember what they were. I thought, what a tragedy. What a loss. And so that's why I write them down. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to forget it. He says, write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed are the dead. You know, we mourn the loss of the dead. But here he says, and this is from heaven now, blessed are the dead. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. You know, we celebrate birthdays, and I'm not trying to discourage you from that, but I just want you to understand the Bible teaches that the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. When you are born into this world, you come into this place, this what we call the low ground of sin and sorrow. But when you die, you leave this place and go into heaven's pure world. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. That they may rest from their labors. You know, it is a labor to live in this life. And if you're going to be a godly person, that certainly is a labor. We have some fruit trees back home, and those trees look all fine until the fruit is produced, and now all of a sudden the limbs are hanging down and almost breaking. What a picture of a child of God trying to follow their Lord, producing fruit. Jesus says in John chapter 15, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Bear much fruit. That's how His Father's glorified. And that's how you're truly His disciples, by bearing much fruit. But consider the fruit tree. How difficult that labor is. And you know, someone who is a good steward of that fruit tree will prop up those limbs with boards or something else to help relieve the weight. Oh, what a blessing we are to each other. To help one another, bear one another's burdens. He says, but they may rest from their labors. There's rest for the weary as we rest from our labors. But notice this last expression. And their works do follow them. What do you leave behind when you're gone? It's not what you take. There's an old country song. It's not what you take when you leave this world. It's what you leave behind. I'll tell you what follows you is not what you thought, not necessarily what you said, but what you did. Your works do follow you. You say, well, I'm not that important. I don't really do anything. If you've got children, you are very important. The expression, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You know, the ones that are influenced by you and the life that you live, your works do follow you. They certainly follow you. Say, what's the point of living a life full of sorrow and struggles? I'll tell you the point. Your works will follow you. What kind of works followed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you want to know what kind of works should follow us, study His life. What followed His life? He left us with peace. What did He say in John chapter 14? My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. He left us with peace. He left us with love. He left us with the church. Oh, I tell you, when I leave this place, I want to leave the Lord's kingdom. I want to leave it the way I found it, the way He gave it to us. I want to leave the works that are a blessing, no matter whether I'm in struggles like Job or in prosperity like Abraham, whatever the case may be, that the Lord would bless the works that follow us to be a blessing to all who come after us. I thank you for your good attention.